Welcome to the Ivy Podcast. We're just two aunties sharing our experience through the lens of one Blackfoot woman and one Anishinaabe woman. And we are Indigenous Vision, an educational nonprofit based in Montana and Arizona. We are 100% Indigenous led, and this is our podcast. Check us out at indigenousvision.org to learn more about our work, make a donation, or play back any of our radio shows and this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Indigenous Vision Podcast. This is episode 98. My name is Melissa. Welcome. I know it's been a couple weeks. We've been busy. We have been just doing our thing, getting older, turning pages, new months on the horizon, a lot going on. How are you, Suta?
I'm doing really good today. I amidst the activity of writing down my to-do list. Okay, that exactly the way I said that is how hard I'm making it.
I have the exact agenda today too. I need to refocus what I'm going to be doing for the next like 5 weeks. So
yeah,
it feels like it transitioned into another phase. Here we are closing out August and I'm 42 now. And I got so much to do, it feels like, but like not in an unhealthy way.
42 with so much to do.
Right? That was unintentionally rhymed.
Oh, how was your birthday? I was like on and off sick throughout those days and I lost track of the days and then forced myself to get out that next day.
Well, here's the thing. Like there's been a lot of climate chaos, right? Like the last time we recorded was just before the Maui fires. During this whole time, it's just been crazy weather here in the desert too. So my plans to travel, A, for Palm Springs, that got wiped out. And we're so lucky we didn't because Palm Springs was hit so hard by that tropical storm. We would have been screwed if we had planned that.
Yeah.
We really would have been because there would have been no way to drive in and out of there. It's still a wreck. And
really?
Then my plan B was to go down to Bullhead City, which is like by the Lake Havasu area where a former colleague of mine from Phoenix lived. That was my plan B. She also got like washed out. So like all the plans to go into any kind of like nature, scenery, mountain event for my birthday was just washed away by these crazy rainstorms. So I just kind of hung around the city of Las Vegas and like did all my favorite things that I like to do as a city dweller. And I had a really chill, relaxing birthday, which I think was a lot better because I don't feel burnt out after a whole bunch of like planned events. I just feel rejuvenated.
Oh, that's amazing to hear. And I love Lake Havasu. Monsoon season in the desert is my favorite time. And I feel a piece of me missing not feeling that energy from those storms because it's like the prairie, right? You can see them. The storm cells are so huge in the sky and they're big black. And sometimes they come with like haboobs coming in a different direction. And it's pretty intense. And I wish I could see it again.
It's exciting. Yeah. I love watching them around the valley. Like, again, you see the big cumulus supercells building and most people are kind of oblivious to them. I'm like, that's going to hit as soon as the sun goes down. They're going to swoop down into the city and humble us again. And now as someone who has a car, like I'm very weary of driving in the rain because I hate to like make assumptions, but desert folk just cannot handle the rain when it comes to driving because it's like people die when it rains here. And when I went to the grocery store real quick on like one monsoon evening in between like a crazy rain, and I saw a 4-car pileup at a light. They had all just rear-ended each other. And I thought, oh my goodness, I need to get out of here and go back home. This is crazy.
Yeah, it's not safe to drive because it's like a winter storm warning condition type thing when just a little drizzle hits, and it's really exciting. I used to watch it from my office in Phoenix. We had these beautiful, it's like a historic building that I was in. And so we had these, 9 or 12 pane windows, you know, the windows with a bunch of little squares in them. They're older, they can't open. I don't know. I just have some of the best memories looking out that window and watching the storms come in and
big monsoon on my actual birthday at nighttime. So I watched the whole thing and the lightning was like really close. Like I felt I got a little suntan from one of the bolts that hit like really close. And I thought, wow, I can like feel it on the right side of my face. That was really close.
Wow.
It just like instantaneously struck by the strip and like you could just hear the thunder immediately. So I was really close, but it was like a wonderful calm, just me and like the earth birthday. It was really interesting. Not what I had expected. Again, like I'm just trying not to make crazy expectations of like plans anymore, because Mother Nature is in control, obviously.
Oh yeah. And today is like the start of Mercury and retrograde in Virgo. Is that you?
Yeah, like all the planets. There's like 5 planets in retrograde right now. So if you feel like you're losing it, you're really not. It's just being a human on a planet that's spinning, and we're just doing our best. So try not to take it too personally, but right. I tend to thrive in retrograde. So I don't know.
That's some cool medicine. I don't know. It's that time of year where I got those like dizzy things, vestibular migraines, they call
them.
Not good. When I went to PT for it. And then I found out that a lot of people had started getting vestibular migraines, and it's when the crystallists in the plate in your ear, in your inner ear, dislodge and then just kind of float around your ear canal. And those crystals floating around your ear canal can make you like violently ill.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Like I worry about that if I like bang my head too hard somewhere and I'm like, oh, I don't want to dislodge that little thing in my ear and get vertigo and start throwing up everywhere, because I heard that is a nightmare.
It is. It was. And because I can't do ferrites or anything like that, but it started when I was living in the desert, and I was trail running this mountain trail, and I was on top and kind of ran down the hill a little bit fast, because that's where I feel the speed. And I really like the way the corners whip me around, and like I can feel the whip, and I feel the trail hold me and kind of swing me around too. Anyway, went down too fast, ran down to a dock and jumped into the water almost without no transition, you know, no breathing, no, like I just kind of ran and that popping in my ears, I think is what really, something happened there that just never became right again. And wow. Every now and then it dislodges. So they have these, I can't remember what it's called. It's like an Eckheimer move, something like that. You lay on the edge of the bed and tilt your chin up and then roll your head to one side for 30 seconds and then the other side for 30 seconds. And then you sit up and that's supposed to put them back in. And it works, but wow. It's still really, I carried, and I woke up the second day and it was still around and I was like, this is not. So I took out the Dramamine and took some Dramamine and took myself up the hill. I'm like, I got to get out. And I figured like getting above a certain elevation here in Missoula too is also, I think Vegas and Phoenix were the same. We're kind of built in little bowls. And so we have an inversion layer. And I think that traps energy and pressure and all kinds of fun and icky stuff that can make you feel a little off. And so I've always, for the last 20 years, have practiced going up above the inversion layer just when I'm feeling like in a funk, just to get out of it. And I feel like it worked. So I always carry the Dramamine with me now forever, just because I'm scared of when it will hit. And so I was in the
stress me out.
Yeah, it kind of does. I was in the trailhead and I kind of felt like this pressure in my head that was kind of like echoing the same feelings from the day before. And so I popped a Dramamine and I'm like, gotta get up to the mountain. And I took it easy. I kind of walked like a speed walk up it. And then by the time I was to the top of the mountain, like midway, my ears started to do a weird thing where I was popping, but then like, you know, you're breathing through your nose and then exhaling and your ears are doing a weird pop, and I couldn't get it to adjust. And so I just took a minute on the side of the mountain to regulate my breathing and then like kind of play and pull with my ears and pull them down and pull them out. And it kind of popped into place. And now I feel fine today.
Good.
I know.
I'm like, is it going to end?
I know.
Thank goodness.
And, yeah. And so it was a cool mountain. Nobody had been up on it for a long time. The only prints I was following were elk prints. There was some bear scat. The trails were grown over. They used to be really well-worn trails. And at some point in time, Missoulians were walking up to the top of this mountain pretty regularly, but it was really overgrown. And so I popped on some hand drum music because I don't want to go like, hey, bear, the whole way through. And I'm not a fan of bells. And so I put some hand drum music on my phone speaker. It was a pretty cool experience. I kind of liked walking up to hand drum music because sometimes when I'm in certain places, I like to listen to them and see how they receive me, like, and what the feelings are, and if I should leave or if I should stay and linger longer. But, and sometimes I can kind of feel like the energy of the mountain, like if this mountain is really a receiving me, right? Or if I'm getting these vibes to go. And so the hand drum music, certain music seems to appease the mountain spirits, or just like kind of give them some entertainment. And sometimes I'll like, if I don't have my phone or I don't have signal, I'll sing a song up there. Sometimes it's so beautiful. I just love being out there. And I've, that's what I've been doing. I've been halfway in between sick, which is kind of like disheartening because I only have a few more months left until my next scan to see if I'm healthy, or if I have more like serious treatments, like more surgery. I don't think they're going to do surgery. It's chemo next. So, but yeah. But it's been kind of on and off. And I think it was because I, like 3 weeks ago, I pulled my sweater off, my top off. And it was kind of a tight fitting sweater, and the neckline just kind of like pulled up and over my thyroid and seemed to damage it a little bit. It was sore for almost 3 weeks.
Wow. So
that's better now. And then when that happened too, like I started to get like some of my old fatigue, exhaustion, all of that kind of stuff. And so I don't know if I like disrupted it or what, but back on my vitamins and back on my workout schedule, back on my peace schedule, which is really unfortunate for some of my closest, nearest and dearest. Like I had to like pull back my energy and concentrate it on me, you know, because I tend to take care of people and I'll be all over running people around and being a taxi and and yeah, I just forget about myself. So
wow, well, I hope everything's okay.
I hope everything's okay too. It was kind of a hard reminder to like refocus on myself and do what I need to be doing for myself. It's the Ayurvedic. There's some Ayurvedic practices in there and some yoga practices and workout, and this podcast helps though.
Yes, it does.
It really does. And it forces me, because people are listening, right? And so I have to talk about my problems. But
we have real problems.
I know. I try to frame them in a way that is like not too sad, you know, and still transfers some of the hope that I have in all of these apocalyptic situations.
Right. I've been feeling really low-key guilt for all the joy I've been experiencing in this world of chaos, because a lot of people are going through it right now and like having some of the worst scenarios possible in their lives. And here I am having a blast, but I'm like, the creator put me in this path for a reason. So yes, why the heck not enjoy it and do everything I can. And I cannot wait to go to the mountains. I love that you mentioned that the mountains have vibes.
Yeah, they do. I'm sorry.
They really do. And like the mountains right now are telling me not to go to the mountains. Like there's just things that keep coming up that block me. And I'm like, okay, I'll stay away from the mountain right now. And sure enough, the weather got crazy. I would have got stuck out there. But I do want to go out to the dunes, which is not really in the mountains, but sort of off the highway. There's this one called Big Dune, which is just about maybe an hour northwest of Vegas. I want to go on the full moon. I'm obsessed with dunes on full moons.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's so, so surreal. Like for someone, a prairie kid who doesn't get to see cool stuff like that, I can't get enough of it. So there's a full moon on Wednesday and I'm going to drive out there, I think, if I can stay awake that long now, and just stand around and do the dunes. I wanted to do this photo shoot for my birthday, but again, like the weather was just too crazy to go anywhere. You know, I bought this crazy robe and I wanted to go stand on a dune. So I might just go take in a dune by myself. And I'm really spending a lot of quality time still with myself. I'm not, yeah, I don't feel the need to hang out with people yet. It's been like over a year.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this just how I am now? Or is this like a phase?
Yeah. I don't know. If it's a phase, I kind of want to stay in it because I started to people like this summer was the beginning of a like a lot of meetings, in-person meetings. We moved from virtual events to in-person events and in-person meetings, and it was kind of a lot for me because I just feel the room a lot, and so I prefer to stay by myself.
Right. I did
No
go
offense to
out.
anybody, like.
Exactly. There's nothing, there's no beef. There's nothing wrong if I don't approach you. But I went to a pool party with some coworkers. One of my coworkers, there's actually a couple of them. They're bartenders or a couple. And they're like, we just got this amazing house. We're so proud we reached this status in our life. It's a huge house with a pool, and we want to have everybody come over and enjoy it. And I thought, okay, this is an actual invite to a social event with people I work with. And I went and I lasted 2 hours and then I had to go. I was like, whoo, what am I doing here? This is too much for me. But I made the effort and I really tried to be social because I thought, am I being too isolated? Am I, really pushing people away? And I wasn't. I was just like, no, this is just not for me right now. But I did make the effort and I did enjoy, a little bit of social activities here and there. But I was exhausted after 2 hours of it, just the small talk and just getting to know everybody on a little bit of a deeper level. I was like, oh, I'm just gonna go now. But you guys have a great night, right? The party continued and I was out of there before the sun even set.
That's how I am too.
I'm
I'm
that
like,
girl now.
I am that girl too. I'm like, I'm gonna say hi. So I'm not a total party pooper. My old friends would always want me to, because I've never been a real like drinking partier, but when in the days where I used to have like a drink, like wine or something, I went to bartending school, so I love all mixing
We've
all
had a
the
drink here and there back in the day.
Yes, I love all the beautiful drinks. And so, but my friends have always wanted me to go out with them because once I start drinking, I'm not like a sad drunk or a mean or angry one. I'm like I get stupid on the dance floor sober, and just it's really sad when I get a drink in me and I'm like, woo, let's go dance.
I get really silly. I used to be a silly, wild drunk. Like exactly, I would go do like moves I would never do and like dance with people and strangers and hooting and hollering out there. I was like that. I never got aggressive with people. There was the odd time that I would get kind of like weepy, but like that was few and far between. But I was for the most part, that's why people were so shocked to learn that I had quit drinking. And because I wasn't, the way I framed it was like, oh, I was suppressing all this like anger inside. They're like, that's so crazy because you were like the happiest drunk person we knew all these years. And I'm like, I know, that's why I was drinking
That's
to kind of
funny.
like escape the feelings,
That
right?
reminds me of the meme I just shared a couple days ago before the weekend. Oh, excuse me. I had feelings. Let me replace them with jokes right away.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
The people in my circles didn't know that I was legit an alcoholic since like the age of 14 to like
Wow.
37. I stopped. No, 38. That's a
Wow.
long time to be involved in a heavy relationship with alcohol, but I was. And
Yeah.
I played it off as like this really fun, exciting, charismatic personality trait. But in reality, it was like I was suppressing all this pain that I had never dealt with. And it's really wild, right?
So what helped you feel the pain? Like
Just
healthy?
going through it. I just remember when we went to New York, October 2019. That's where I had my last drink. And then when we
Oh, at
came back,
that bar there.
yeah, that was the last time I had a drink. And then I came back to Phoenix and I remember just taking a break of everything. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to take a break for like 3 months. So I took a break from everything leading up into the new year. And then the pandemic happened. So I was just forced to deal with myself during that year. And it was rough. Like it was rough, but I got
It was
through
a
it.
rough year. It was a rough year because it felt like shocking almost because we had to say goodbye through a window. Remember that?
Yeah, through a screen. I remember being like, I don't,
It
because I
was
was
so
sick.
sad. It was so sad. And yeah.
I was like, when am I going to see you again? And you were like on your way to Montana. And I'm like, just sick as heck. And I fractured my foot. Like I was just in a rough shape.
Oh my goodness.
And like the world on top of it, I just felt like everything was going to hell. Like that's how I truly felt. And then with the no alcohol thing, because I felt so good physically, I thought if I have a drink, I'm just going to ruin this whole amazing like bio feeling that I have that just feels really good, like actual physically. And then it just kind of like caught on, you know, I just pursued it and thought I never really craved it. I just thought about it sometimes, but I never craved the alcohol, which is why I never had to go to an AA meeting, I think, because I never really like caved in. In fact, I would still go out and be around alcohol. I would serve alcohol at the job I worked at. Still, I serve tons of drinks right now in Vegas. I'm around it all the time. I'm just not tempted. It just like felt like a chapter just closed and it was like, okay, time to deal with yourself now. You're old.
Right. That's beautiful growth though. And your discipline is so, I don't know. I need that discipline too. You're an inspiration for being able to be like, something is not feeling okay, so it's out. And then you don't even hum and haw about it really. You're just like, that's the feeling. And I don't like it. So,
thank you. That's Virgo vibes right there.
I love it.
Hardcore Virgo.
I am such a Cancer, and I'm like, oh, but what about this scenario? And what about this possibility? And I should worry about this possibility of this possibility. And it's like not even close to reality. And so, Cancer.
And here we are. And here we are in 2023.
Oh my goodness. But it's been talking about other forgotten or busy birthdays. Indigenous Vision turned 8 in June.
Oh, did we even mention that?
No, I think we forgot. I think we were planning on it and then we forgot because it got busy.
Right.
June was a busy, like as soon as June hit, I felt like just a week or so ago, I was able to sit down and start pulling out all the notes and pictures, and because it had tumbled and stumbled over into such a busy period that I woke up like 2 weeks ago and was like, oh my goodness, did I even get anything done? Like it's been such a blur in the travel. And so I started pulling out my journal, my calendar, my pictures, and all of that to see like what I had done in these 2 months. And it's a blur. For leaving it open, but it's all super awesome. And I'm really excited. Like I'm kind of getting antsy now to sit down and start getting this organized and pushed out into a mapping profile. But there was a couple of things that I missed in the schedule and the busyness. It's field season, and next summer I'm just going to take the ceremony week and probably a good 6 to 8 weeks and just put field season. I'll be slow at responding to emails, but I'll get back to you soon because that's the way it's been. But the EPA project is going awesomely. I'm making progress on that quality assurance project plan. It's the first time that TEK, Blackfoot Traditional Ecological Knowledge, has been mentioned, or TEK of any nation has been mentioned as a guiding light in one of our projects on the land. And so I'm really proud of that. And I'm really excited to see how that's shaping up. And I'm really nervous about my language that I'm using, because the last study that I read was like 4 non-native Caucasian men from the University of Kansas, I think, trying to struggle with the idea of whether TEK had a place in Western science. And they decided that it didn't. And so it's really hard to read those papers.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can't even imagine actually what that must be like.
So much work to do. There's so much work to do, but it needs, you know, we're getting into where we're sitting down writing our grants, and you just got that awesome grant in for, was it Native Americans in Philanthropy or First Nation?
It was like Indigenous Women's.
Oh, Northwest Indigenous.
Yeah, it was my first real like grant writing situation, which I'm working on another one too, because I really want money for MMIW. There's so much work to be done, and it just seems like the most underfunded part of like everything that we're doing. So really hoping this gets through, but I really got a taste of what it's like to write a grant. And man, it's kind of a lot. Like it's way more than I thought.
It is. And oh yeah, we wanted to talk about the podcasting, and I just got a, I just saw a post by Edgar Villanova of Decolonizing Wealth. And I wanted to kind of scroll back through, cause I know he did podcasts for a little while and some posts, but I wanted to see what he thought of this little like growing pain and situation we're in, where we're still young. Well, we're 8 years old. We're pretty old for a native grassroots organization to be going for this long, right? We're hovering right around $140,000 operating budget. And it's a pretty even split between how much we pay our people and then how much we put into the programs. And I'm really proud of those programs because we're putting a lot into Native communities, like all of the people we're using as our experts and our guides are our people of color and Indigenous people. So that, and that's from our self-defense instructors all the way to the storytellers and mapping guides and other contractors that I use to keep the programs going. So I'm proud of the money that we put into the community. It's I never imagined as a girl growing up on the Blackfeet Reservation living at under $300 a month before bills that I would be running a $140,000 organization and putting more than $50,000 back into my community. It's not like, well, it's like family and friends, right? But they're like, they're experts and they're subject matter professionals and they're just the most skilled professionals in like you. Where the heck else am I going to find a Native American woman, professional DJ and producer and voiceover talent? Like, you're just a unicorn. And so I'm really proud of our people and I'm really proud of our programs and what we've put together with barely anything.
Wow. I love us. You are so amazing. Thank you for that.
Yes. Thank you. I know we are,
we're pretty amazing. Come on. We're pretty amazing.
We're good business women. We just need more resources, because what I was getting at with that is, before I got thankful and grateful for everybody, is that we're in this weird spot where we're like small, but some foundations are expecting big things, like big organization things of us. So we're at 140,000, and most of the grants we're applying for now are, they make you required to be a 501c3 entity, and so we are, but then they require an audited financial document. And so for the last year I've been working with an accounting firm that was recommended by our accountant out of Phoenix, and it's called Numbers Matter, and they're really awesome, and they are helping do a compilation. And they said because an audited financial statement, an internal voluntary financial statement, was almost never done by small organizations because they're so expensive. And I said, well, I always think $5,000 to $7,000 is a really good investment if it helps. It's a big chunk, especially for a $100,000 organization. It's like almost 10% of our budget, right? You know, I've always been businessy in the type of, well, you got to spend money to make money. These audited financial statements are going to prove that for the last 5 or 8 years, we've been receiving money and putting it into projects and into the community. And there are a couple people out there who can write us testimonials and statements, but it's a really hard. So I'm trying to wrestle with, I'm going to finish the compilation, because that gets our books in order and reconciles all the spending to the programs that they're designated for. But then I really would like that audited financial document, because as a small 501c3, we shouldn't have to get a larger 501c3 to submit a grant for us because we can't afford the audited financial document.
Yeah, it's like a weird financial level barrier, like a weird huge hoop that we have to jump through that we can't even jump through right now at the moment. And it's really hard that these grants require that for us to get the money. Like, if you really want to help the people, give us the money. Yeah. I mean, we have an 8-year track record. Like, everything's available in public.
Right. We're on GuideStar and we have a silver transparency seal, and we can't get the gold transparency seal because that requires an audited financial document to be uploaded. And so right now the silver is just for organizations who upload their organizational budgets and their most recent tax statuses. And so you can see there our budget matches our tax documents. But I would love that gold seal so what I'm going to do is I'm going to finish the compilation and see if there's an accountant out there that could put us on a payment plan or something, because we need that audited financial document so that we can get those bigger, better grants, so that we can make our temporary people permanent and our contractors. We would just get so much more done. We're pretty understaffed and underfunded. And if we had those resources, our programs could really explode and reach into, I think, classrooms across America.
Yeah. Like, you would know, listener, you would know about us. You would hear about us. Right. And if there's anybody out there who wants to make maybe a $10,000 donation, you can go to our website, indigenousvision.org/donate. The button's right there. Right when you open indigenousvision.org, you hit the support and you can donate $10,000 if you want to pay for our financial audit. Just saying.
Oh, yes. Put it in the memo. Financial audit, and we will go for it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for checking out the Indigenous Vision podcast, presented by Indigenous Vision. We are an educational nonprofit based out of Arizona and Montana, and this is our official podcast. This is just one of the projects that we do have going on. If you would like to explore more of what we do, visit our website, indigenousvision.org. You can also sign up for our cultural humility training that's coming up this October 17th. All are welcome to attend. Again, thank you for listening to the IV Podcast.